He's got a beautiful backswing.
Dad, oh, he got all of that one.
Oh my gosh.
That is amazing.
Layup with an iron into the hazard.
Oh my God, you had to deal with the golf course people too!
Well, that wasn't quite what I meant, you know?
Welcome in everybody to another edition of the 73rd Hole. Colby Powell and Taylor Williams with you. Check us out, the73rdhole.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, search 73rd Hole. You will find us. You can reach out to us on our website, the73rdhole.com. Taylor, Sergio Garcia back in the winner's circle. Here's when I knew Sergio was going to win the tournament. As soon as we got done recording last week and I realized that we had both given out Sergio as a heavy fade last week because, you know, the guy hadn't had a top 10 in like 3 years on the PGA Tour, that is when we should have known that Sergio Garcia was poised to get his first win since the Masters back in 2017.
Yeah, so here, I'll go through and I'll read some of this. And yeah, and whenever we mention first event, you know, we'll go back to the Paul Azinger comments. We're talking PGA Tour events. So he had won a
PGA Tour event,
he had
yes.
won a couple of European Tour events, I believe, in between that stretch. But here's leading up to Sergio's last week's win at the Sanderson Farms, Colby. U.S. Open miscut, Safeway miscut, Wyndham T66, PGA miscut, a couple of T35s, had a T5, then before that missed the cut at Charles Schwab. So that's what we said seen since the restart, and had seen a T5 at Harbortown, and other than that had seen nothing better than a T32. So for him to come out and win the tournament, you know, like we were looking at it on paper and it looked good. Hey, you know, this is a big name who hadn't played very well in a long time. Probably not a guy that you're going to look at rostering. Hadn't seen any signs of form, but all of a sudden he goes out there and seemed like the big storyline with him was he went out there and started putting with his eyes closed, which is seemed to start gathering everyone's attention and people just weren't getting the aspect of it. When you're someone like Sergio who's had trouble with their putting the whole life, when you're not looking at something, you can just freely stroke through it. And, you know, normally whenever you see something like that, you're searching for it, you're searching. Well, most of the time when you're searching, you don't find it. Well, looks like Sergio found it this week. And he also had the ball striking clicking as well, as we saw in that shot on 18. He put it in there to a foot. And it really doesn't matter how good you're putting at that point because, yeah. You know, most of us can make that putt.
Yeah, I mean, everybody except Ernie at Augusta on the first hole on Thursday a few years back. Was that the year Sergio won? Might have been.
It could have been, actually.
Yeah. Whatever, which, was it a 6-putt, an 8-putt, 7-putt? What was it?
Well, it was...
I think it was a 7-putt.
I think he missed like 6 putts inside like 4 feet or something. I mean, it just was like boom, boom, yeah. boom. It was like hockey. It was...
These things regulation or what?
You can see Jason Day was playing with him off to the side, and he just had his hand, and so he was like, what the hell am I watching?
I think that's actually where Jason Day's vertigo started, was watching Ernie L's 4-putt from 2 feet.
You know, I might be wrong. Was it 2017 we looked up when Charlie Hoffman had that really good opening round?
Oh, man. It might have been.
The reason I think so is because Ernie had that horrible first hole, and he played like 2 or 3 under after that, and it would have been like the second or third best round of the day.
2016 Masters.
2016.
Is whenever Ernie 6-putted. It was a 6-putt on the first hole. I just checked it out. 6-putt for a 9.
That's not a bad way to start, but I do remember. You probably don't have it in front of you exactly what he shot that first round, but I know that he ended up shooting a couple under after that, and so he made a 9. So he would have been 5 over after 1. I know he shot better than 5 over in the first round. So, and I believe that was one of the days when. So, nevertheless, my point being is that, you know, Ernie May should have tried that back then, and that would have been good. But, you know, everyone's making this big deal about Sergio Putt with his eyes closed, and it's just it's a big thing because it's kind of like Zach Johnson at the U.S. or not the U.S. Open, the Masters, where it's, you know, it doesn't happen for everyone, but when it does, you talk about it all the time. And there's PGA Tour pros who have tried putting with their eyes closed. You just don't hear about it because they're not playing very good. And or maybe not even PGA Tour. You got guys on the Corn Ferry Tour trying it. You got all kinds of players out there just trying all kinds of different putting things. Well, all of a sudden, whenever it works, you start to hear about it. And I think that's what
kind of like whenever Spieth used to look at the hole.
Exactly.
Whenever he was on top of the world, he was looking at the hole. A lot of people started. I mean, there were guys out at your local club who were just trying it out, just looking at the hole to see if that's better.
And when's the last time you heard anyone bring that up? Looking at the hole on a short putt.
Boy, probably about the 2017 Open.
And did the announcers, I remember this very vividly, it would piss me off every single telecast. When Spieth would look at the hole on a short putt, they would make a comment about it. Every time they would say something
just
about
every. I think it'd be something like, well, how's he going to look at the hole of the ball here? It looks like he's looking at the cup and he pours it in. Yeah. I mean, it could be 18 inches from the hole. And they'd let us know that he was looking at the hole. But I think for Sergio, it's just a matter of, you know, you hear putting instructors and stuff like that say, you know, whenever you're putting, you're still just making your stroke. You're not really hitting the ball. You're just making your stroke and the ball gets in the way. Well, Sergio, for whatever reason, just hasn't really had the ability to do that lately. It's been very yippy. And as the putter comes through, there's been a lot of recoil and the shaft moving inside and a lot going on with Sergio's putting stroke. And I mean, maybe you close your eyes and you don't see it. And you can just make your stroke. And look, it's not something that I'm going to run out and do. I think I'm fine with my eyes open. But I mean, if you really have the yips and you want to try it, I don't think there's any harm in it. Maybe not a permanent solution. But if you could get to putting, just stroking the ball with your eyes open like you're able to do with your eyes closed, I think that's the whole idea for Sergio. And obviously used it on some putts this week. And well, it worked pretty well for him. He won the tournament, so argue with it.
Yeah, you know, a few things there. One is that you kind of mentioned it about, you know, the ball getting in the way and rolling the putt, and that's, you know, Dave Stockton, one of the biggest putting instructors, that's one of the things that he preaches is just feeling like the ball is just rolling off of the putter face where you're not really hitting the ball. It's just you're doing whatever you can to get that ball starting to roll. And I think you're exactly right in the aspect of that it's not, this is not a long-term solution. I don't think this is something that we're going to see Sergio doing until he's 60 years old if he ends up playing on the Champions Tour or whatever for that long. And so I think this is just a temporary thing. And you see it happen all the time where people just try a thing and then it clicks and then they'll move away from it. But I think the main thing we got to take away from this, Colby, is we kind of mentioned it a few weeks ago when we brought up our DeChambeau show, where everyone, or after he won the U.S. Open, where we're talking about how, oh, well, everyone's going to go to distance and everyone's going to do all this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, people are looking at this the wrong way. You have to find what works best for you and capitalize on that. If every single player would have went out there and put with their eyes closed, you know, I'm obviously Sergio won, but I'm just saying not everyone out there on the tour is doing that. And he made over a million dollar check this week. So just because Sergio won doesn't mean you need to go out and put with your eyes closed. You need to go find what works best for you and make that work for you, whatever it may be. And don't give a shit about what people think about. And that goes kind of into a point. I want to sum up this, the Shriner, or the, not the Shriners, that's this upcoming week, but the
Sanderson.
We got too many S's going on. That's the
chicken championship. Is it a chicken or a rooster?
I like rooster better, so let's go with that. Let's just go meet in the middle and call it cock.
You can say that. You can call it that. I don't know what's on your brain. It's a Tuesday for me.
What are you talking about, Colby?
We're a long way away from the weekend.
I'm just trying to eat.
Well, fair enough. I mean, I could do some Raising Cane's for lunch. I don't know about you, but
I don't know what you're thinking about, Colby. Get your mind together. I'm just talking about cock over here.
Now, do they get it delivered from Sanderson Farms directly? That's what I'm curious about.
These are the questions everyone was asking after this golf tournament.
This is why you listen to the 73rd hole, so that we can determine whether it's a rooster or a chicken, or as Taylor so eloquently put it, a cock.
So this is a really good segue into
the trophy too. So Sergio got to hold it up with both hands after the tournament.
So he never mind. I'm not even going to say it. It's so bad. So this kind of goes into the point of what I was just making there about how you really don't need to care about what people think. Did you get to see anything from the European Tour event this week, Colby?
Absolutely, I did not.
Did not. Okay, so two highlights here. One, or actually there's three highlights here, actually, from the tournament. Three. One, your boy Golden Tommy Jesus. Fairway Jesus Fleetwood lost in the playoff.
I did see, I saw people tweeting about it, basically saying he might have had the yips.
He could have. That's putting it lightly, and that's not even one of the points I was going to make, but I just wanted to throw out that
maybe he should close his eyes.
That he maybe should, and the fact that, you know, because you talk so much shit on Fleetwood not being able to get a win, so I thought it was nice of you to hear that he lost in a playoff.
So he got close, then he watched the other guy hoist the trophy, so he pulled a Fleetwood, but is what you're telling me.
Listen, do you know the guy that won the tournament?
I don't pay attention to the European tournament.
I don't want to butcher his name. It's like Adrian Day or something like that. Nevertheless,
we can pull it up right quick.
This is the two highlights from this gentleman, Colby. One is that he is our generation's, he's 25 years old. He's our generation's version of Tommy Two Gloves Gainey. Has pretty good action.
Oh, no.
But wears two gloves, two black gloves. Been wearing gloves since he was 8 years old, two of them. And then this is the worst one, Colby.
Oh, Aaron Rye.
Aaron Rye, that's what I meant. Yeah, Aaron Rye. And so this is the worst one, Colby. This is worse than two gloves. He has iron covers.
Oh, I saw a picture of the iron covers on Twitter.
Iron covers.
I didn't realize
for a European Tour winner. We have iron covers. I didn't realize you won the tournament.
Not only that, the picture on Twitter had the iron covers, and they had crossed out what club they were actually supposed to go on, and it was written in Sharpie what club it was actually under the iron cover.
Yeah, that's why it looks so weird. I had to zoom in. I'm like, what the hell is that? Is that a sock on it? What in the world? The guy on the European Tour, pronounce his name again one more time.
Aaron Rye.
Aaron Rye?
Rye.
I thought there was a D in there somewhere. I don't see a D anywhere.
I mean, so. You have the cock in Mississippi. You're looking for the D in Europe. I don't know what the hell is going on this morning. I want to apologize to all of our little listeners.
Kobe, I think you're the one that's got the mind together because I was
Aaron Rye. Here's the question that we need to ask. Should he receive status for winning a European Tour tournament with iron covers?
You know what's really funny about all this? As I looked this up just right before we did it, strength of field this week or last week, the tournament, European Tour, I believe Scottish. Was it the Scottish Open?
It was the Scottish. It was the Aberdeen Standard Investments Scottish Open.
It had a really good strength of field, 285 or 283.
That's pretty good.
Like, yeah. The Cock Championship this past weekend had a 234 or something like that. So okay. It was 50 points higher than the PGA Tour event.
I mean, which they had Ian Poulter in it and Padraig Harrington. Between the two of them, they've got what? Two or three majors? Not bad.
They have three majors from one of them.
Yeah,
but they have a shitload of Ryder Cups, though.
They've got more Ryder Cups than, I mean, who has more Ryder Cups combined? Ian Poulter and Padraig Harrington or Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson?
I'd best say who has more Padraig and Ian Poulter or the entire U.S. team in history?
In the last 20 years, anyway.
Oh, well, the last 20 years, not even close.
It's last like 30 years. Last 40. Let's do last 40. Let's do last 50 years.
last 85,000 years.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie Pepperell, you got some names here. Robert Rock finished T3. No, pardon me, solo three, just behind the guys who went into the playoffs. So good stuff from old Tommy. Good stuff. Let's check his scorecard down the stretch. Oh, I don't know if he had the yips. I mean, he shot 31 on the back on Sunday.
It's hard to beat that. I mean, the way I see it is that, like I said, we got a 25-year-old who's wearing two gloves and has iron covers on. Well, two benefits. One is that he was using the Tiger Woods Limited Edition TaylorMade irons, so that might have been a reason as to why.
You're saying he harnessed some of Tiger's powers.
He hoisted the trophy over a guy who choked, so it doesn't – that's the definition of a Tiger win.
That's the definition. Yes.
So,
now, iron covers and wearing two gloves, both things Tiger would never do.
I don't think I've – no, because I've never seen – I don't know. Maybe has Tiger ever worn two gloves when it was real rainy? I don't think I've seen him do it.
I don't think I've ever seen Tiger wear two gloves.
I don't know. Maybe we can find – I've seen him wear, like, the mittens or, you know, something like that when he's walking between shots and it's cold. But I don't think he's actually hit a golf shot with two gloves on his hand. And for me, I don't know if you've tried it. I try it. For anyone who has an interlock grip, I don't think you can do it because –
You can't. I've tried it whenever it rains. You get, like, the black – the rain gloves, essentially, and I've tried it before when it's rained, and it's horrible. It is horrible.
I think I've tried it with an overlap grip. Obviously, you and me are both interlock players, so yeah. I can. If you do an overlap grip, you can do it. You don't feel it, but it's the fabric in between your index finger and your middle finger that sticks out, so you can't get your, at least for me, I can't get my fingers or my, it just doesn't grip as secure.
I'd rather have a bare hand. My right hand on the grip, which is wet, than be wearing two gloves.
this show has gone really well.
Will Zalatoris, shall we?
Yeah.
Zalatoris hasn't finished outside the top 20 in the world anywhere since February. And I picked him in DraftKings last week and he missed the cut. This is my only missed cut in DraftKings. I had five made cuts. I mean, just a stacked lineup, absolutely loaded. I didn't pick any of the guys in the top 10, but I had a lot of made cuts. And Will Zalatoris misses the cut. You're killing me, Smalls.
Well, we had talked about forever. I mean, you only have so much gas in the tank before you got to pull over and fill up, you know? And so when was he going to have to pull over and get some fuel? You just keep going. I mean, not just your body, but your mind gives out. And I don't know. It's like the whole Bane quote. I didn't know it was going to give up your spirit or your body. And which one gave out first, we're not sure. But I know that he was able to get a weekend under his belt. And he's in the field this week, Kobe, I believe. So
is he okay? He's a little further down the odds this week, obviously, with the better field.
Yeah, we do have a better field this week. Got a lot of big names. Got Bear Bryson playing, Webb Simpson, Patrick Cantlay, Hideki's playing. I think there's a couple other guys that we'll get into.
And Bryson and Wolf are paired together this week.
Oh, really?
It'd be kind of fun because they've basically, anytime Wolf's ever been close to a win in his career, Bryson's been right there.
They're trophy buddies in that sense.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, when one of them wins, the other one finishes runner-up. Yeah. So if you're going to roster Bryson this week, you have to also roster Wolf. You have to roster both or neither.
Do you think when they both go into a tournament, do you think they do like what we do in fantasy football when we're in the championship and we hedge the money before we start?
Maybe. That's a good idea. Yeah, just meet up on the putting green Thursday morning. Hey, you want to just – let's just chop.
Yeah.
However we finish this week, let's just chop.
Let's just play for fun and then we'll just
chop. Let's play for the trophy. That way we know that there's not, you know, $700,000 or whatever on the line on last hole.
Yeah, so yeah, that way we can have a friendly match. I think that's what they did.
Yeah, probably something along those lines. So why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break? Because this show is just totally off the rails. We'll come back. We have a really good tournament this week. We've got a good field. We've got a lot of good players. We got a good field in Europe, too, for the BMW Championship, where Patrick Reed is the odds-on favorite. So we got a lot of golf talk coming your way on the other side. Let us know. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Is it a rooster or a chicken? Is it a rooster
There's
or a chicken?
There's a third option
What's the third option, Taylor?
It's cock.
We'll be back on the 73rd hole.
When something the size of a golf ball hits your roof, you need to call McRae Roofing. McRae Roofing is Oklahoma's designer roofing service specialist. For years, Jeff McRae and the experienced team at McRae Roofing and Exteriors have served fellow Oklahomans by helping them with their roofing needs. McRae Roofing uses only top quality materials and professional crews to make sure that each job is done right so it will give you the years of service, security, and protection you need from the unpredictable Oklahoma weather. McRae Roofing offers residential and commercial roofing, ventilation services, and custom copper designs. McRae Roofing is dedicated to exceeding the homeowner's expectations. It's not just a roof, it is your home's crowning glory. Call McRae Roofing today at 405-692-4000. That's 405-692-4000. Make sure to also visit their website at mcraeroofing.com. That's M-C-R-A-Y roofing.com. Don't get caught with a leaking roof. Contact McRae Roofing for your free inspection today.
Welcome back to the 73rd Hole. Colby Powell and Taylor Williams with you. Hit us up on social media, 73rd Hole, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. Let us know what you think about the show or, you know, this week. Maybe just don't. Maybe just don't let us know. But still hit us up, 73rd Hole, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check us out at the73rdhole.com where you can find the link to this podcast every week as well as some course info, a link to go check out the course they're playing this week. On the PGA Tour this week, it is TPC Summerlin's been in the rotation for quite a while. I don't know about you, Taylor, but I was looking at form coming into this tournament, and the last 3 years, there's a player who finished runner-up in 2019 and runner-up in the 2020 season, which was last fall in 2019. He finished runner-up in the 2019 season, and he won here in the 2018 season. Those are the only three times he's played this event. That is pretty good course history. Pardon me, I had your mic muted. That's on me. That is Patrick Cantlay.
Yes,
Patrick Cantlay. Second for Patrick.
And we brought it up last week whenever we were talking about how this is the tournament that you and my father had money on, Patrick Cantlay, to win against
nice
Kevin
runner-up finish
who
last
set
year.
The PGA Tour record for most feet of putts made in a PGA Tour event against John, may I say.
And it'll never be beaten. Nobody will ever make more putts.
I think it's impossible. I think it is virtually impossible to make. I think you could hit it to the edge of every green to a tuck pin on a 72-hole course and not make as many feet of putts as Kevin Na did that week.
By the way, that was not Kevin Na's first win at TPC Summerlin. He has another win in 2012 at Summerlin, and in 2016 he finished runner-up. He also has three missed cuts and a WD here. So
that's a good segue there. Cool. How do you feel about Kevin Na this week? Well, if you had to, because we were so right on Sergio last week because we said heavy fade on the guy that closes his eyes and wins the tournament, wins the COC Championship. So you know, how do you feel about Kevin Na 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 Na?
But basically, if you're asking me yes or no, am I going to play him this week? The answer is probably no.
Yeah, would you play? Nah, nah.
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 That's not confusing at all.
No, not even a little bit, no. So here's the thing. Kevin Na, so he won it in 2012. The following year, he finished 22nd. Finished runner-up in 2016. Following year, he missed the cut. He won it last year. It's tough to win an event twice in a row. It's not like he's really on form or anything like that. He missed a cut at the U.S. Open, 27th, 51st, 39th. I mean, he's had one top 10 since the restart, and it was at Harbortown, which was 2-3 months ago. So doesn't have the form and is defending champion. I'm just out on having to defend. And it's a stronger field this year. This is not normally the field that we get at the Shriners. We've got Bryson DeChambeau coming off his win at the U.S. Open, Webb Simpson, Patrick Cantlay, Finau, Hideki, Morikawa, Wolf, Harris English playing good golf. Day, Fowler, Sungjae, Sergio coming off the win. Paul Casey, Louis Oosthuizen. It's It's a pretty good field.
This is a really good field. Yeah. This is a really good field. And, you know, with it, we had talked about it because this was back in the day when Tiger had won here this first time. It was a five-round tournament. Yeah. You know, it used to be 90 holes. So now we don't have that anymore. It's been
Take him 91 to win it?
It did, yes.
Yeah, he won it in the playoff over
91 holes, over Davis Love III. Yeah, so, I mean, it's been a long time since that happened, but that is an interesting thing to note that, you know, it would be something to see because I don't think that, because the Bob Hope or the whatever the tournament's called anymore.
Career builder,
yeah, they don't do five rounds anymore. So that seems to be something that was pretty not common, but you would see it at least two or three times a year, and now you don't see that anymore. So I think that's an interesting footnote from the tournament that doesn't happen anymore. But yeah, I think that when you look into it, Colby, there's a lot of really bigger names here, and I think that, you know, for a lot of these guys, I think this is they're starting their prep now for the Masters to get that ready. I think before everything was getting ready for the U.S. Open, and everyone was gearing up for that. Then obviously the playoffs were in there too, so you're focused on that quick turnaround for the U.S. Open. But now we've had a couple weeks; everyone's kind of decompressing, especially DeChambeau after getting the U.S. Open trophy, settling down a little bit. Now I think everyone's getting their game ready for Augusta and leading into that, Colby, I don't know if you saw you mentioned they were about to overseed Augusta, and I don't know if you've seen the overhead views of the last week, but it's worked.
Has it worked? I have not seen the recent overheads.
It has, unless it was just, you know, a photoshopped image. It's way more green than it was in only a week. It was pretty astounding, the picture I saw. I hope it wasn't.
Okay, no, here's a headline from Golf Week. Check out the brown to green transformation at Augusta National in just 10 days.
Yeah, you never know on the internet anymore. Someone could have photoshopped something and may have saw it, but I try to fact check it. It looked like it was legit as could be, and so, yeah, I mean,
Golf Week is pretty reputable, and Golf Week is posting it, so...
Well, I mean, if you...
Oh, my God.
Look at that.
You're talking about night and day. I mean, they're ready for the Masters. It took them 10 days.
Yeah, it looks just like it does in April.
Wow. 10 days. It looked like Hefner 10 days ago, and now it looks like it's ready to host the Masters.
God bless. I wonder how much it cost
We don't even want to know.
I do want to know. Seriously. I don't want it to hit my bank account, but I would like to know how much it costs. I mean, That's phenomenal that change. And for anyone who, obviously, a podcast doesn't do this justice, look it up. Is it on Golf Week?
Golf Week, yeah. I literally just Googled Augusta National, and the first few headlines.
It's going to be under Google News. It's going to be under the news headline. Yeah. So, yeah, look that. And seriously, just look at the transformation. This is 10-day difference. And it's phenomenal, Colby, to think that not even just a golf course, but any... that you could do that with grass just in general. No matter what.
I can't do that with my grass.
I mean, not only do they have to have perfect weather for that, you just have to have so many things. It's like almost they have the sub-air system on their whole course, and they just like, oh, this turned on a switch. Oh, we want our grass good. Here we go.
How do we know they don't have the sub-air system on the whole
technically
course?
Technically, we don't. You make a really good point there.
They could hide it from us.
That would be expensive.
You talk about the foot in the bill for that. Oh, my God.
If anyone had the money for it, it'd be the those rich bastards down in Augusta.
That would cost millions on top of millions on top of millions of dollars to do that all over the course. But, yeah, Augusta looks great. So you mentioned people kind of gearing up for the Masters. I'm curious. Bryson had said that he's going to start experimenting with a 48-inch driver shaft so that he can hit it even further because he's just not hitting it far enough to accomplish what he wants to accomplish, which is, I guess, to win every week by 10 shots. So... 48-inch shaft, do you think we see it this week? Do you think it's more of an experimentation deal? What are we going to see from Bryson in terms of, you know, shafts are kind of the theme of the show today. So in terms of shaft length, what do you think we're going to see with Bryson?
Sorry, this is really bad. But
driver shafts, and golf clubs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so yeah, it's our own fault for having our own minds in the rabbit hole because we're just talking about legit golf things here. And so nevertheless, there's been a lot of studies done on this where, you know, people are saying, oh, I want that longer driver shaft to hit it further, all this. And for each, I don't want to get the numbers wrong, but it's somewhere along the lines of for each half an inch that you add onto your club, it equals out to be like 1 mile an hour of ball speed or something like that. And essentially what...
I just Googled it. It says around 1 mile per hour per inch of club head speed.
So that's three, essentially 3 miles an hour of ball speed is kind of where...
So around, 2 inches longer shaft.
I'm sorry, not three mile an hour ball speed. That's about 3 extra yards is what that is. And so when you look at that, if he's already using a 45 and a half inch driver, and the reason I bring this up is because it's different for everybody because... Like for me personally, I hit a shorter driver shaft further than I do a longer one because I hit the club in the center more often, or I hit the ball in the center of the club more often. So it's different different for every person. And for me, a shorter driver shaft allows the club to stay in front of my body, so I time it better. And so for me, it works great. And for someone like Bryson, if he's able to use that 2 extra inches of length in his driver to still hit it solid, keep the ball on plane, and by those numbers, he's going to gain by the numbers, he would gain at most probably 6 to 7 yards just based off of the shaft length increase. And for a guy who, because you remember this too, Colby, whenever he broke his driver at whatever tournament it was where he leaned on it and it snapped. And
yeah, Memorial about, or Workday or something.
See, I was going to say Memorial, but I didn't know because that was when he hit it. He had made the 9 or whatever. And so I thought there were two.
Maybe it wasn't the Memorial.
I think it was maybe the 3M, wherever it was. Nevertheless, wherever it happened, he talked about how the driver shaft that he had was so dependable and was so reliable that that's why he had hit it so many times. And if he finds something so reliable, adding that 2 extra length, that thing's not going to bend like it used to. You're going to have to, I mean, you've heard Tiger talk about it. He's tried to have millions of copies of the Elder one built, his putter, and they can't get any that are built that feel anything like what he has, and they're supposed to be the exact same damn thing. And so someone who's probably as close to feel as you can get, we talk about science, he is, you know, DeChambeau, if he grabs some and it doesn't, they could tell him all the numbers on it are right, but if it doesn't feel right to him, it's not going to do it. So I don't see how he can add 2 inches of length to his driver shaft and be able to still time it the way that he has been. Because it has been known that not only is he hitting it further, he's actually hitting a higher percentage of fairways than he was. So is it really worth that extra few extra yards to miss 5% more of fairways if that's what he's going to do? He may even hit more fairways with 48-inch degree driver. I think it's something that if we do see it experimenting with, it is going to be this week at the Shriners where while we did mention it is a bigger field, it's not a major championship or WGC or anything like that. So if he was going to experiment, I think this would be the place. But we didn't think it would work at the U.S. Open as bomb and gouge. I just don't think this is something that we see long-term, a 48-inch degree driver, just because he's hitting his other one so good.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that it's Bryson, and Bryson's just going to forever experiment. It's just what he does. He tinkers. He tries to look. He always looks for a way, what can I do to get better constantly? And, you know, it's a good mindset, really. We all should be constantly trying to get better.
And it's fine line because I agree.
He just does it on an extreme scale where he's always changing something fairly drastically. I mean, you remember the side saddle putting, obviously the one where the clubs stuck around, but he's always changing something drastically, not minor changes, drastic changes to try to improve. And, I mean, can't say it hasn't worked to this point. Guy's won, what, 7 times on tour, just won the U.S. Open. So, I mean, what he's doing is working, but he definitely operates in his own manner.
Well, and you see, you look at it from a couple of different perspectives, and I want to put this out there for any junior golfers or any other player out there who's thinking about making a swing change or anything like that. You know, you can look around, and you look at someone like DeChambeau or like Tiger, who's won how many ever tournaments with how many ever different golf swings, 5 different golf swings, and I think the difference in a lot of is that these players are so naturally talented that even if they start going in another direction, they can get it back to where they were when they were playing good. So, for example, Tiger in 2000, while even when he was in 2005, his iron game may have been better than it was in 2000. He eventually got worse whenever he went to Foley and progressively with injuries. But he's still able to come back to it. He always had a floor with his irons where, in all honesty, right now, Colby, this might be the worst his iron game has been in quite some time. And even then, that it goes to show he's still middle of the pack, if not top 25% on the tour. And this is one of the worst iron years that he's had. But then you look at someone like Padraig Harrington, who won 3 major championships and then all of a sudden tried to tinker around, or like Martin Kaymer, who is able to get his game, who is able to win a major after this, but won the 2010 PGA Championship and then he was a fade player and then wanted to work on a draw for the 2011 Masters and then fell off the planet for 2.5 years. So, you know, while there's a fine line between experimenting and wanting to get better, if you take it over the top and completely change everything in your game when you're someone like a Padraig Harrington who've been on the tour and out there for 12 to 15 years or whatever it was, and he won, well, you did something for so long, you know, why would you change when you just won 3 major championships?
Can you imagine if in like 2010, Jim Furyk would have been like, you know what, I want to change my swing.
That's a good example. More traditionally. That's a really good example, yeah. Right there. And so if you're doing something for so long, then you can do it. I think Bryson being younger, I think, helps a lot in this aspect. Obviously, with him being bulkier and more flexible, he's able to do more things like this. But I think with him younger in his career, he is able to kind of experiment and see where he does want to go going forward. Because even though he did do it when he was younger, you know, the single-length irons was an experiment. And that's something that has worked, at least in his longer game, up until this point. We talked about however long does he need to switch on his wedges, maybe so. But I think, you know, we got down a decent Bryson rabbit hole here, but I think that he is, any tournament that he tees it up in that's not going to have Tiger or Rory or someone like that, he's going to be the headline every tournament. And, I mean, he is the headline this week in Vegas. And so, obviously, other great players like Webb Simpson, Patrick Cantlay, all top 10 players in the world, Tony Finau, Deki Matsuyama, all there as well, Matt Wolf, Colin Morikawa, all these great players, but yet we're finally getting that guy, Colby, that's polarizing, that's kind of getting our attention, and that's Bryson, who, to have all these great players in there for us to focus all of our attention to Bryson, I think that's, in my opinion, I think that's really good for the game.
Yeah, I do too. I think he's really good for the game, whether you love him or hate him. Like you said, the word is polarizing. He is polarizing. People want to watch him, and that's what the game of golf needs. Let's dive into our DraftKings a little bit. Bryson is the most expensive player on DraftKings at $11,800. His last three trips to TPC Summerlin, 7th, 1st, 4th. Good course history for Bryson here. That being said, coming off his first major championship and knowing that he's probably doing some experimenting both at home, maybe even this week on the course, I'm probably going to stay away from Bryson this week. Wouldn't blame you if you rostered him, but I don't think I have the stomach for it coming off the U.S. Open win.
We'll get into it in your best bets. Do you have the odds form in front of you?
I do. 7-1.
7-1. See, that's, I mean, that'd be something I wouldn't feel bad. If he was like 4-1, I wouldn't feel comfortable betting him, but 7-1, I mean,
if he wasn't coming off his first major championship, I'd feel a little bit better about it. I feel like guys who win their first major don't play well in the next event out. Maybe that's just an opinion I have.
No, I think there's a lot of evidence behind that, and I think, too, that
Sergio.
I'm not saying run to the window and put $1,000 on it. Right. I'm saying, I mean, my point being is whenever I asked you for the odds, I was expecting here 4-1 or 5-1. And when you say 7-1, in my head, that sounds a little bit better than I thought. So if you have 10 or 15 bucks, I'm saying that's not going to be a horrible pick to throw out there. Because over the last couple weeks, even though we were wrong on Sergio last week, he wasn't the top favorite to win the tournament. And so, you know, a lot of times we go through and we'll see the top guy and we're like, oh, we need to stay away from him because there's just no value there. At 7-1 for Bryson with how well he's been playing, I actually think there is just even the smidgest amount of value there.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree. I'll probably just stay away coming off the U.S. Open win. But, I mean, his course history over the last 3 years is pretty good, and he still gets dwarfed in course history by Patrick Cantlay, who's my most expensive player this week on DraftKings at $10,400.
Copycat.
I mean, if you don't have Cantlay in your DraftKings lineup this week, one of two things is going to happen. Most likely, you're going to be losing a lot of ground to the field because he's going to finish top five. Or maybe he just has a bad week, plays bad on a golf course he usually plays good on, and you get lucky, and everybody else in your pool has him, and you make up a lot of ground. So,
well, I mean,
can go either way.
We look at it here. I mean, and since the work day, which was the tournament before, was supposed to be the John Deere, but it was the first of the two Muirfield Village events, he only has one finish inside the top 32 since then. And that's in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, was that 6 events since then. So, I mean, it's not like he's in the best of form. The best finish is a 12th in there at the BMW, so no top 10s.
I think Summerlin gets him back on form.
I do, too. That's why I have him picked.
You're running him out, too?
Yeah, that's why I called you a copycat.
Oh, yeah.
He is my most expensive. You gave all the reasons there. Most of the time when we both like someone, it's the kiss of death. Or when we both dislike someone, it's the kiss from God's greatest angel. And
Shout out Sergio.
Nice
win last week.
Yeah, absolutely. Close your eyes.
Who's your second most expensive? Don't be the same as mine.
Let's put it this way. He is not in the 10,000s, but he's $100 cheaper. So,
okay, that's not the same as mine.
9,900. Guy been playing pretty well, just consistent as hell. Give me Hideki. So,
would be a good pick if $100 cheaper than Hideki, you didn't have my second most expensive guy, which is Colin Morikawa. Ball striking machine, fairway finder, strokes gain around the green, approach the green. Colin Morikawa, he's had enough time now to decompress from the win at the PGA Championship. I'll take Colin Morikawa at 9,800. That is value.
So we got $100 difference there in our two picks, and so that'll be an interesting shootout there between Morikawa and Hideki, who both players who I think have a great chance to be there on Sunday. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if both of them are in the top 10.
Makes me think that we might have a lot of similar players in the lineup if we're starting out the same. So my third most expensive guy is at $8,000, and that'd be Scott Tway. On the bag for Brian Harmon. Brian Harmon is the name that you select on DraftKings. So if you're looking for the name on DraftKings, it's Brian Harmon. But really, we're rostering Scott Tillet this week at 8,000 because I think Summerlin sets up very well for the way he caddies.
Yes, it does, absolutely. And Mr. Harmon is playing very well, and Scott's been directing well, been able to get on the weekend for how many ever weeks in a row now. I don't have it right in front of me. Colby, you might have it in front of you there.
Two, three, four, five, six, seven consecutive made cuts since he missed the cut at Harbortown.
Man, that's good stuff right there. And that's
a couple top 15s in there.
That's great caddy and Scott. Gosh dang it. Let's give him a round of applause. I mean,
seven straight cuts without a good caddy on the bag.
No, so. It's impossible. That's absolutely impossible. And let's not discredit old Mr. Harmon. I'm sure he's making a putt or two out there to get on the weekend. You know,
pretty good for a lefty.
And very true southpaw. And so he's.
Name one lefty who's ever accomplished anything in the game of golf. Go ahead. Try. I dare you.
I can't do it.
Can't do it. Not off the top of your head.
No, not off the top of my head. So
name one left-handed Canadian who's ever won the Masters. I mean, just top of your head.
God, that still baffles me that he won the Masters. That's insane. That, we're talking about Mike Weir, by the way, if anyone's not knowing. So my third most expensive guy, Colby, and I cannot believe I'm saying this based off of what I saw a few months ago, but from the way he's been playing lately, Colby, give me Zach Johnson at 8,500.
Oh, okay.
I got a 23rd at Sanderson Farms. I got an 8th at the U.S. Open here. I didn't play that well at Northern Trust, but a top 10 at the Wyndham. Starting to see a little bit of form, and for a guy like him, you know, you get the putter rolling. Of course, Kevin Na won here last year by making a lot of putts. I think we might see something similar with Zach Johnson this week. I think he's starting to find something, and I think he'll get me to the weekend, worst-case scenario.
Yeah, he's played here once in the last 6 years. It was last year, and he missed the cut, so... course history isn't on your side, but form I think is on your side.
Yeah,
so
go with form.
I mean,
when you go course history, you know, whenever because like you mentioned, normally the field isn't as deep, which you would say, oh well, you got all these good players, so why'd you go Zach Johnson? Well, I'm looking at like you said, because we got people who are preparing for Augusta, and so for someone like Zach Johnson who has won at Augusta infamously for laying up and doing all this, I think that is something that. Maybe more of a pride thing than anything is him kind of getting back. And I mean, like I said, he just finished top 10 in the U.S. Open. I don't know when the last time he finished top 10 in a major was. Probably when he won the British Open, if I had to guess. And so I just think that's something that has a lot of pride with him. And so I don't think a course issue. He only played it once. I mean, it is what it is. And so, you know, we talk about Cantlay doing so good, but you can show me one appearance miscut. So being it was last year, like you said, Zach Johnson had played 2 years of really bad golf, but I think he's starting to get it together. So he's my third most expensive Colby. Go ahead and hit me with what you got next.
Yeah, next, I think it's pretty obvious. I'm going to take Cameron We Are The Champ ins.
Okay.
Yeah, that was bad. Bad joke.
You had the right intention there. It just didn't come out
right.
Yeah,
it didn't land the way I wanted it to. Much like a Cameron Champ golf ball, which lands just miles from where it starts. In on Cameron Champ. Any week that he hits fairways, he's going to be in contention. I think that... despite the fact that he's played here twice, he's one of two on made cuts. I think I was looking for the last guy to fill out my roster. I had 7,600 left. I'm like, you know what? Cameron Champ is a high ceiling type of guy. He could win any week that he gets hot. Could also miss the cut. So I've taken Champ a few times over the past couple months since the restart, and sometimes he's been really good to me. A couple times he's burned me, but I'm rolling with Cameron Champ again.
Well, that's kind of what you deal with when you pick Cameron Champ, because when you're a bomber like that, if you're on with your putter every week, then you're just going to win every tournament. So, you know, if he would be top 10 player in the world if he wasn't a hit or miss type guy with how far he hits it. So that's kind of what you're dealing with when you pick him. So, I mean, you can't go wrong with him there. My next pick, Colby, is a guy you talk about course history. Hasn't finished better than 15th here, but also has made four straight cuts on this course at 7,500. Give me Harold Varner. I like what
I've... We're both sitting at 7,500 with our next most expensive.
So there is some value at the 7,500 mark. And so over his three of his last four events, he's finished inside the top 30. Only event, he missed the cut by one, I believe, at the Northern Trust. So, I mean, like I said, anytime you miss the cut by one or two, it can be a hit or miss type thing. Because any guy who beats you by one in 2 days can all of a sudden get a top 10 on the weekend and make you look like a piece of scum. But nevertheless, I like what I'm seeing from Harold Varner. And for 7,500 in a fairly deeper field, it just fit into my lineup like a glove. So
yeah, I'm at 7,500 as well. I'm there with Siwoo Kim. I figured I went really reliable at the top of my lineup, guys that you kind of know what to expect. So then in the 7,000s, I figured I would just go with extreme volatility and run out Cameron Champ and Siwoo Kim, which both guys just complete hit or miss guys.
You're literally throwing a dart at a dartboard and seeing what hits.
If you have the stomach to roster both of those guys like I do. See, I'm very brave, Taylor. I'm very brave when I make these picks. Now, if you're a coward, you might not want to roster these guys because you might not have a stomach for it. It might get to you Friday afternoon when you're wondering whether they're going to be leading the tournament by 5 or missing the cut by 10. So, Cameron Champ and Siwoo Kim. Those are my guys in the 7s.
There you go. And I you know, so you don't have anyone else in the 7,000s? Those are only two?
I do not. Nope. I've only got one guy left, and I've only got 6,700 available.
That makes it pretty easy. So I'll go ahead and give my last two, Cole, before you give yours. A 7,100 guy who I pick almost every week, finished 6th last week. I'm going to go and keep riding him until he makes misses a cut. Give me Ventura, 7,100. It's
go
hard.
Pokes. You are a huge Oklahoma State fan, so.
God bless. Don't even get me started on that.
I mean, you roster Christopher Ventura every week, so what other explanation could there be? And quite frankly, I don't blame you for jumping ship. I think a lot of OU fans will be doing so if things go on the current trajectory. Yeah,
there's no doubt about that. This is the reason I picked Ventura here, because you want to talk about football and hurt my feelings on this Tuesday morning here. So here's since the restart here, Colby, and this is just PGA Tour, so we're going with a 6th, 52nd, 7th, 37th, 19th, Mesquite 3M, but finished 21st at Rocket Mortgage. So for a guy at 7,100 who's been playing that well, that's why I pick him every week. It's not because where he went to school. I'm not biased here, Colby.
Yeah, he's played good golf. I'm not biased either.
I am going to be biased towards Taylor Gooch at 6,800. He wasn't able to fit into my lineup, but I will be biased towards him. Had a really good first Thursday, Friday last week. Probably didn't have the weekend that he wanted to, but that's really good value for a guy who's a greatest ball striker as he is. Just like last week, wasn't able to fit in my lineup. I wish I should have, though, because I had a lot more missed cuts than he had last week.
Yeah, I had 6,700 available, and Gooch cost 6,800. So I couldn't afford him. So I will go with our other Mr. Reliable that we always play in the 6,000s, which is Tyler Duncan. He's still in the 6,000s. He keeps making cuts. He keeps having decent finishes. So why not run him out again? So that's the final piece to my puzzle here is Tyler Duncan at 6,700.
I like it. Well, then my next piece of the puzzle, Colby, will be a guy who you picked a couple weeks ago who you really liked, and a guy who kind of got off to a really hot start last week and then faltered apart, or 2 weeks ago. And then last week, I believe, missed the cut by one, so was able to get a couple days at 6,500. Guy who had a decent amount of form before missing the cut by one. Give me Seb Straka. 6,500. I just think that you scroll down, you're trying to look for some value. Like you said, you get down in there and you're just looking for a guy who's, you know, show me a little bit of something. And we talk about it all the time, how there's a fine line between making the cut and missing the cut. And missed the cut by one last week. So you're not playing your best golf, but you're not that far off. And he had been playing pretty good before that. May have given him a couple of days of rest, get it together. For a guy who down in the 6,500, you just want to get to the weekend, I think he's a good name to bet on down there. Just a little cheap in your Tyler Duncan.
Yeah. I like it. So recap these for everybody before we move on. I've got Patrick Cantlay, Colin Morikawa, Brian Harman, Cameron Champ, Siwoo Kim, and Tyler Duncan.
Well, and, you know, we mentioned before we thought we were going to have a lot of the similar, and we only had one that was the same, so that's pretty good.
Yeah,
good. I'll read it off. I got Cantlay, Hideki, then next Zach Johnson, 8,500, then Harold Varner, Christoph Ventura, and Seb Straka.
Yeah, good stuff. Let's do a little bit of best bet action. And, you know, I'm looking through this week, and I'm trying to find the ones that I really like. I don't like the value at the top with Bryson and Webb. Bryson, I'm showing it 7.5-1 here, actually, and then Webb at 10-1. Patrick Cantlay's 12-1. I think Patrick Cantlay's worth a little bit at 12-1. I mean, first, second in his 3 trips. I understand he's not on the best form here, but some guys just go to a golf course and they just like it. They just feel comfortable. They hit it well. They it fits their eye line. They make putts. It's bent grass. He putts better on bent. So I like Cantlay at 12-1. He'll be one of my plays this week. I like Morikawa at 20-1. I think the fact that we're still getting 20-1 on Morikawa is a little crazy to me. I don't know. I mean, We've got Tony Finau.
He was less than that at the U.S. Open, I believe.
I think he was.
Crazy.
Here's the confusing thing to me is we've got Finau at 16-1 and Hideki at 16-1. I mean, Finau and Hideki they're really good players. They don't win golf tournaments very often. So getting Morikawa at a better value at 20-1, I think is a good play. So Cantlay at 12, Morikawa at 20. My third play up high before I go get you some long shots is Matthew Wolf at 25-1, a guy that I couldn't fit into my DraftKings lineup, but who's been playing really, really good golf is Matthew Wolff, and he's a guy that we know can pop and can contend on any given week. So my fourth guy, Cameron Champ at 75-1. It's a hit or miss. A lot of people don't have the stomach for Champ. I totally get it. The couple times that he has won have been in the fall. He's played good golf in the fall, so we'll see if that continues this week. And then every week I try to throw a 100-1 at least long shot at you. It's kind of tough this week. There aren't a ton of guys in the 100-1 range that I like. So I'm going to go at exactly 100-1 with a guy who's played pretty well here over the years. Let me find his course history. It's Matt Kuchar. I had it pulled up just a second ago with old Cooch. Matt Kuchar played here well a decade ago. Doesn't have a lot of course history here, but I mean, he's 100-1. You're not going to find a guy at 100-1 who's got five consecutive top tens at this course. He finished second here in 09, seventh in 2010, 57th a couple years ago when he came back. At 100-1, a guy who we know has championship pedigree and can win golf tournaments. And we've seen some older guys win recently who haven't won in a long time, Stuart Sink, guys like that. So Kuchar's my super long shot at 100-1. So those are my best bets, but I like those three at the top, the best, obviously. Cantlay, Morikawa, and Wolff, I think, all have pretty good chances to win this week.
Well, you know, if we're looking at, you know, kind of last week as any reflection on what may happen this week, I think Kuchar fits in a very similar mold that Sergio was in. And the fact that, you look at since the return from the Corona break, only one finish inside the top 20, and that was 18th at the Northern Trust. So his highest finish is an 18th. Really doesn't have that many missed cuts in there, but you're seeing a lot of 30th, 40th, a 59th in there, that kind of thing. So a guy who isn't playing particularly well, but is a bigger name and has had form in the past. And we talked about, you just mentioned one of those guys who doesn't particularly win tournaments a lot, but you know, he's due, you know, he's been playing for a while, and it just takes one little thing to click. So I think if you're looking for a long shot to kind of maybe if we have anything like last week happen this week, I think Kuchar is a very good guy to fit that mold.
Yeah. And if you are so inclined as to bet the BMW PGA Championship this year on the European Tour, Patrick Reed is the favorite at 10-1. He's joined actually by Tommy Fleetwood, who I'm also now showing at 10-1. Then you got Tyrrell Hatton at 16, and then Justin Rose and Matthew Fitzpatrick both at 18-1. If you want to go down a little further, Lee Westwood's 30-1. So pretty good field on the European Tour.
Do you have it there in front of you? They didn't move it from Wentworth, did they? Is it still?
Good question. I don't have the course in front of me. Yeah, that I don't have. You can get Aaron Rye with his two gloves and his iron covers at 40-1 to go back to back.
It's still a Wentworth. Yep. So I just want to make sure. Wentworth's one of the best courses in the world. And so
your boy Bezaden Hoots 45-1 this week. My close personal friend Matt Wallace is 30-1. Plays a lot better across the pond than he does in
America. My man Zayden Hoots, like those guys you talk about, really great player, just doesn't have a chance to win. But at 45-1, he's worth throwing a little bit of coin on. I think, you know, you got to break through at some point when you're that good. But I just don't think it's this week.
How about these long odds on Danny Willett at 66-1? He's played some better golf lately. 66-1 is long odds for Danny Willett.
It is. I think that, is he the defending champ here or two? He might be the defending champion here. I don't know if he won this.
He might be.
He won this event very recently because wasn't
this his first win after the Masters? Because he lost his game for a while.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it was fairly soon. One second, I'm about to pull it up right here because I just want to make sure it wasn't last year or 2 years. Yeah, it was last year. So yeah, he's a defending champ. That's why he's so low.
Defending champ, 66-1. Wow. The defending champ at Shriners this week, Kevin Na, 70-1.
This is why Danny Will or so low, Colby. Over his last, I'll read off his last six events here. Going back in reverse, in Tenet order, for anyone who's seen Tenet, really good movie. Miscut, 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 T69, nice. So those are his last six finishes. So that is why Danny Willett is so low at 66-1.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I totally understand. By the way, did you know that he only has one win on the PGA Tour?
And that's the Masters?
That's the Masters.
That actually doesn't surprise me.
It's a good one to get.
It's probably the best one to get, in all honesty.
Probably the best one to get.
Yep, if I had to get. So, I mean, it's,
do you know who finished runner-up the year he won? Can you name both guys?
It was two of them. Oh,
it was two of them.
Wow. I forgot about that. Well, obviously, we all know the first one.
A young and an old.
I know. How old?
Mid-40s.
At the time or currently?
Yes. Don't know. Don't know exactly how old he is. Now he's probably in his mid-40s.
Oh, boy, man. How am I missing this? Gosh dang, I don't know, Colby. Say, Rose?
He's 47 now.
47?
47 now. So he would have been 42 at the time. A guy who really should have a major and doesn't.
Westwood?
It's Lee Westwood.
He finished second that year.
Finished second in 2015, right alongside Spieth.
Really?
Yep.
I totally forgot about that. Man, that's crazy what happens when the guy you tie with runner-up with hits it in the water twice on the 12th hole at Augusta. How you can just get completely ignored.
Yes. Yeah, Lee Westwood a little bit overshadowed.
Not get ignored is the tight second check that he received.
Big fat check. A lot of big fat checks for Westwood in his career, despite no majors, which I hope he gets one. I hope he goes like the Darren Clark route and just gets one right before he goes out.
Oh, yeah. Well, Clark's older than Westwood is now. I'm sorry. Westwood is older now than Clark was when he won, I believe. So,
yeah, what was Clark? 44, maybe?
Something like that. 42, somewhere around that. And Westwood's mid-40s, 47 now, like you mentioned. And so... Yeah, Clark is...
Darren Clark was 42 when he won the Open.
42, yeah. So you got... And so Westwood would be older than Nicklaus when he won in 46. So, yeah, Westwood is absolutely one of the... You know, we talk about it with Rahm and Schauffele and the guys now currently who don't have a major to win.
Ricky. But, yeah, I was like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry. I forgot. I always forget he won the Players, fifth major.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can't forget about that. And so Westwood is probably the best current active player, like longevity-wise, to not have won a major.
I agree.
The only other guy you maybe think of is maybe Luke Donald, and I still think Westwood's had a better career than
Donald. I completely agree Westwood's had a better career.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, it's... I don't think there's any real question. I mean, we'd have to go back, look on it. So before Sergio's clear cut before that, now Westwood may be the best golfer of all time to not have won a major.
He might be. Well, he's way up there. If somebody has a better name, you can let us know. 73rd Hole, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the73rdhole.com. You can contact us there as well. Let us know. Taylor, before we get out of here, let's give our one and done picks. I'm actually running out two different guys this week, one on our website pool and one for our podcast pool. So on the website, big season long that includes tournaments before the restart. I don't have Colin Morikawa available. I don't have Patrick Cantlay available. So I'm running out the other guy that's in those top three that I bet that I like. Give me Matthew Wolf in the one and done.
Oh, gosh, damn it.
You're kidding me. You're picking Matthew Wolf?
In our big pool, yeah.
And I gotta annoying.
And I got to figure out who I'm picking in our little pool because I can't remember if I picked him or not in this.
Well, that's annoying. Well, I can let you know. So in our podcast pool, which we started after the restart, and we'll run through the Masters, we've just got Canes riding on it. I've got Colin Morikawa.
Just Canes? Just Canes? What are you
talking about? We got Canes riding on it.
Just Canes. What are you talking about? There's a lot of significance behind this.
Caniac combo, extra toast, extra sauce, large tea.
Making my mouth water now.
Colin Morikawa this week for me. Haven't used him yet. I was shocked that I looked down my list and I haven't used him yet, so I'm running him out this week at Shriners, where, honestly, he's probably going to win the tournament. So
he very well might. Yeah, but one of maybe the best ball strike in the world, so hard to go wrong there. Do I have Cantlay left in this pool, Colby?
Not even a little bit, no. You used him at, like, the work day.
I didn't use him at the... Oh, I used him at the Memorial, I think.
You used him at either the work day or the Memorial. He got 52K for you the week you used him.
Okay, I was about to say, you used him at the work day. I didn't. Okay, so that's where I used him. So I'm using Wolf in the big one-and-done pool. And let me see here.
You still have Wolf available if you want to run him out in both.
That might be what I have to do.
Look at these other guys at the top. You've used Webb. You've used Cantlay. You've used Bryson.
Have I used Finau?
You have not used Finau.
Give me Finau. Might as well.
Tony Finau, where he be now? He be in your one and done lineup.
It's fine. We got just Canes on the line, like Colby said, so it must not be a very big deal. So I could might as well just throw the guy Monday qualified in there. Might as well. Gosh dang it. Or might as well just throw Brooks Koepka in there. He's not playing. Or Tiger. It's just for zero since it doesn't matter. Canes.
If Finau plays his absolute best golf this week, hits all the fairways, scrambles great, makes all of his putts, then he'll get you a nice second place check.
That'll be enough to move me up on you. So
You'll lose ground to the field. You'll lose ground to the field this week with a second place check. And I will get closer to that Caniac combo.
It is going to be a good Caniac combo, especially when I'm putting it in my mouth. So,
all right, Shriners for Hospitals, Children Open this week. Gosh, you really should phrase things differently, Taylor. Should be a lot of fun this week in Vegas. Vegas, baby. Things get weird in Vegas. Things got weird today on the 73rd hole.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What happens on the 73rd hole goes out to everyone because you can listen to us on any platform, but principle's still the same.
Absolutely, you can. Spotify, Apple, Google, leave us a review. Rate us wherever you listen to this podcast. Check us out, social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, 73rd hole. Give McCray Roofing a call, the absolute best in the business. Thanks for listening. We are back next week. We're going to have some stacked fields for the next couple of weeks as some guys prepare for the Masters. Thanks for listening once again to the 73rd hole.